Today, I am sort of deputizing for Mark. It's a bit of a strange thing when you get a phone call a week before you're standing up to preach, and your pastor says, so I'm not actually going to be there next Sunday, and I was going to preach, and how about you preach? And you go, fantastic. And then he goes, you know, I've done all the notes, being Mark. He's done the notes for the whole series, by the way. That's just who he is. But he said, I've done all the notes. Do you think you can make sense of them and stand up and preach? And I said, well, I'll give it a go. So I've spent this week looking through Mark's notes, and it's very interesting when you take someone else's notes, because you actually see the same scriptures in a different way. And Mark is, you know, this subject today is something that, you know, personally, I would say, you know, Mark's probably in a better place to deliver this as we look at older men and older women. I can say that because he's not here. But then he actually reminded me the cutoff point for older men, and unfortunately now I fall into that cutoff point. So that was the end of that. But just recapping quickly on where we've been with this study in Titus, called Equipped. So the first week we touched on church leadership, and in the second week we touched on self-leadership, and in the third week we touched on leadership in the home. It's a bit of a theme there. Hope you all picked that up over the first 3 weeks. And then last week we looked at true elders and false teachers. So today we're going to expand into chapter 2 of Titus, and we're going to look at the broader range, start looking more at the broader range of the church family. And Paul's writing to Titus is very specific in this area, and he puts people into five groups. Together, those five groups, called the generational groups, we all need to work together. We all need to pull the cart together, if you like. So the generational groups: older men and older women, younger men and younger women, and then bond servants or slaves. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at all of these groups. But today, we start with older men and older women. And our theme verse is from Titus 2. And it says, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine," which we touched on last week. "Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women." So, I think a really important message today, and the theme really of the message today, is because you're older or feel older, God isn't done with you. And I think we see that throughout the Bible. But in Psalm 92, and from verse 12, it says, "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." So last week we closed with Paul's instructions to Titus about teaching sound doctrine. And then Paul immediately moves on into chapter 2, where he starts with our theme verse today. So I touched on it. What is our cutoff age? There's nothing in the Bible that tells us how old an older man is or how old an older woman is. So Mark and I kicked this around for a little bit, and we just landed on 45. So if you're under 45, congratulations, you fall into the young women and young men group. And if you're 45 or over, then you fall into the older category. Now, I'm hoping that through today, you will realize by the time we finish today that actually being in the older category is a whole lot better than being in the younger category. So, as is my way, I'm going to start with the ladies first. So, let's start with older women. It makes me a little nervous saying that every time I say it. So, what does it say first in the scripture around older women? It says, older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women. So starting with be reverent. And what does that mean? So a number of points here about reverence and what it means to be reverent. Perhaps an obvious one, be godly and controlled in the way that you live your life. Bridget mentioned it earlier. Mark loves his Greek, and so he set me a couple of challenges here. But the word reverence in Greek is hieropepes. And what that means is a sacred thing to God, a priestess. So I'm going to try and use the word hieropepes frequently during my preach. If you think I'm just mumbling, just think priestess. So there's no higher acknowledgement in human form than to be considered a sacred priestess of God. Your identity is bound up in Christ. Regard yourself, older women, in a higher manner of being reverent, being hieropepes of God, being hieropepes to God. Self-worth is a big deal for the ladies. I'm here to tell you it's quite a big thing for the men too, but as you get older, there's the lies that start to come about your self-worth. And what is your place in society? What is your place in the body of this church? How can I still fulfill a function that I used to be able to do so much easier when I was younger, when I had that youthful spark within me? And next week we'll talk more about younger women, because we recognize, I think, that self-worth is a big thing for younger women too. It used to be, I always thought it used to be anyway, that Hollywood, these days social media, image stuff, was kind of directed at younger people. But I think these days it's directed as much at older people as it is younger people. And that's a real issue for all of us. Because everywhere we go, whatever we listen to, whatever we read, whatever we look at on the television, in the movies, we're getting these pictures of what we should be like, of what perfection looks like. But we have to remember that our identity is in Christ. And there is no better identity than to have Christ within us. And Christ's identity within older women is hieropepes, a priestess. So please, if you're in that older category, don't feel like you have too much mileage. I'll just sit quietly at the back of the church now, let all the youngsters do everything that needs to be done. That's not your place in this body. And I want to say that you're prayer warriors. You are those who have walked with Christ. Or just if, I spoke to Mark about this. What if you're a relatively new believer and you're in the older category? Well, My sense there is that you've walked life, you've walked through life, and your revelation of Christ in your life now has helped you to understand how Christ has impacted you, how walking the walk you walked without Christ was so much more difficult than the things you can face when Christ is in your life. So, being reverent, take hold of the truth of God. You carry God's presence within you, and you've walked the walk. You are hieropapes. You are a priestess, and that is how God sees you. So with that place, that position, hieropapes, comes some responsibilities. And that's what Paul then sets out next. So the next thing he says is, don't be slanderers. I think we established when we did the series on James that ladies are just designed to say more words in a day than men. I think the statistics are that on average, ladies say up to 20,000 words a day, and the men just a mere 7,000. So there's lots of jokes around that, which won't be spoken into now. But just to remind us that James 3 and verse 5 to 6 says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes a great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among parts of the body. So slander is one of those things. It's a catch net for variances of slander. It's when we think about slander, I think the important thing is to understand what sin is driving that sin. What drives slander? A lack of self-worth, a concept of self-worth, because there's a desire as a result of that to push others lower. So by saying things that undermine people, you are hoping to push yourself higher and push others lower. But we are called to rejoice in the blessings of others. That is what the word tells us. So we shouldn't try to diminish others' blessings, their successes, their joys. We should celebrate with them and avoid the slander that can come. So thirdly, don't be slaves to much wine. And again, you know, you could look at this and say, okay, so don't drink. But I think it's important to look at what is the sin behind that. And that is one of escapism. So a lot of people who have struggled with drinking lots, and I know my father was one of them, you know, it's a need to escape from the world, from the currency of the world that you're living in. The challenges that you're facing, it's an opportunity to try and just take yourself away for whatever period of time that might be. But we must make sure that this escapism doesn't master us. The temptation is often there, but we, you know, whether it's drinking, whether it's movies, whether it's TV series, whether it's, you know, soap operas, whatever it is, these are all forms of escapism because for that moment, they take us away from the currency of life. And, you know, as hieropapes, as priestesses, we don't need to be slaves to anything other than Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said to the woman at the well, regarding her four husbands, stop drinking of men, but drink of me, because I provide everlasting water. And her response was, how can I have some of this? Immediately, it's like, I understand that I need something that is everlasting, that I will never be thirsty again. And Jesus gives us that. He gives us the opportunity to avoid the temporal escapism of life, the things that are offered to us to take us to a place which might seem better for a short period of time. But Jesus is everlasting, and he provides that place of security and rest throughout our lives. And so finally, Paul says to the older women, teach what is good, and especially to the younger women in the life of our church, and those outside the church, of course. So this is a really important role for all of the older women. It's, in fact, indispensable for the life of the church. You have walked through life. You've been there. You've done it. You've got the T-shirt. You may even have a scar or two. But, you know, you have experienced life. And to the extent you've experienced life with Christ as you walked through it, you have so much you can give to younger people. And I wanted to say here that there is there's a real difference between a relationship between a mother and a daughter and an older woman and a younger woman who aren't related by family. Family relationships are constant, you know, particularly when you're younger, you know, there's a lot of direction, there's a lot of guidance, there's a lot of you can do this, you can't do that. But the relationship between a younger woman and an older woman in the body of Christ is much more relaxed. It's much more advisory. It's much more, let me listen to you and let me give you the benefit of my walk with Christ, my experiences, if that indeed is necessary. Sometimes it's just the listening that counts. So, opportunities, forums for younger women to connect with the older women. Connect groups, great opportunity for people to connect and share with each other. Generally, you'll find it more effective one-on-one. So, you know, spend time. Afterwards, have a tea, have a coffee. Make an effort to connect with one another. You may be generationally in a different place, but you may not be different in a different place in terms of the things you're facing in your life. So, pray together. And everybody, I think the final thing is that everybody can do it. There's no prescriptive thing here. It's not that you have to have been walking with Christ for 20 years and be over 45. You know, it really is. That over 45 thing was a bit of a kind of dotted line, just so everybody knows. So I'm conscious of time. I'm going to move on to the older men. So in Titus 2, verse 2, it says, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. So let's start with sober-minded. So this means don't be excessive and indulgent in your behavior, in your lifestyle, in your thought life. Younger men are still trying to figure out their lives and what will satisfy them. They have voracious appetites. They want to take it all in. They want to taste it all. They want to see it all. They want to smell it all. They just want everything. But when we get older, we've experienced those things. We kind of got to a place where we know what satisfies. We know what we like. We know what we don't like. And so we as older men have the opportunity to kind of take all of that, process it, satisfy it, and then pass it along as the need comes along. There's a difference between growing older and maturing. We don't want to just grow older, but we want to be maturing as we grow older. One of my, I don't know whether it's a favorite movie, but it is a movie that for whatever reason seems to get me emotional. And it's called Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey. And those of you who have watched the movie will know that it's about an older dog, a younger dog, and a cat. And the cat is called Sassy, quite appropriately. and she is quite sassy. And the older dog is called Shadow, and the younger dog is called Chance. And I just think when you dwell on those names, you think, that is so appropriate. Because the older dog is very secure in his walk. He knows a lot. He's walked through life. And he's kind of like a shadow in the background. He is there, but you don't necessarily see him. Whereas Chance is like, I'm going to take a chance on everything. You know, I see this, I want to go for it. I see that, it looks silly, let's do it. So I really love that movie because at the very end, when the family are back home, and then you see Chance and he comes bounding across the lawn and he's like, I made it, I'm here, it's good. And they're all like, yeah, he's back like this. And then the cat comes and then there's this pause and there's no sign of the old dog Shadow coming across the horizon. And the young boy is very upset and he's going, oh, he's too old. I knew he was too old. And then you see this dog come across the field and he's sort of slightly limping and he's making it. And he's like, I'm here. It's okay. I made it. They're like this. And you just think, that is so true of us as older men. It may take us a little bit longer to get there. It may be that we got there in a slightly different way. But we have developed perseverance. We have developed an ability to see through the challenges of life and persevere and push on. And so if you're thinking about this at all, when you watch that movie, you'll know why. So when we grow older, we lean into Jesus. We tend to lean into Jesus more. We have our appetites satisfied in different ways. And what that allows is time to push into Christ. So we don't spend as much time, you know, herring off here, herring off there, trying new things, doing new stuff, because we kind of know what satisfies. And that brings us back to Christ and his kingdom. So I did want to touch on the term midlife crisis here. I've always been slightly amused by the term midlife crisis because in theory, you wouldn't actually know when the middle of your life is until you die. But there is a concept that the middle of your life should probably be somewhere around 40, maybe 45 if you're really healthy and you think you've got longevity in your family. But when you think about a midlife crisis in the context of what we're sharing today, it becomes really actually a lot more real because you get a sense of that difficult period of time when you know you're getting older, but actually you still aspire for the fun young things in life. And so, you know, I guess all I want to say on this is that as someone who has at 47 officially, I believe, passed beyond the middle of my life, it's a lot easier to walk through that when you know Christ. And I'll say that because I see Christ as a great teacher on how our lives become more valuable the older we get and not less valuable. And I think what the whole picture of a midlife crisis is that as we get older, our lives become less valuable to those around us, and therefore we should hanker after the fast cars and the flashy whatevers, in order to make ourselves seem more valuable. But Christ doesn't give us that message. Christ tells us that we are more valuable the longer we live and the longer we walk with him. So, a few other things on sober-minded. Being sober-minded means not being on a roller coaster ride of up and down moods and emotional swings. When we come home from work, it's nice if our families kind of know the type of person that's going to walk through the door. Is it going to be the person who was very joyful and happy when they left for work? I assume you all are. Or is it going to be someone who's just a volcano waiting to erupt? So how do we keep from the roller coaster ride? A few things about unplugging from stuff. So unplug from socioeconomic climate, political climate that we face. Unplug from your roller coaster bank balance, if that's how you look at it. Unplug from how your kids are doing. Unplug from how your wife is doing. Unplug from how the church is doing. Unplug from all of this and plug into Jesus instead. When we plug into Jesus, we learn to stand firm on the rock of Jesus Christ. So, other points. We're a little over time now, but so be dignified. Again, in the Greek, dignified means, or is pronounced semnos. The word semnos means dignified. And it means an acclaimed character, worthy of honor, not boring or gloomy, but serious with attitude. So there you go. So dignified, semnos. And as hieropapes is for older women, so semnos is for older men. As older men, we've seen more of life. And we therefore have been shaped by those experiences. And when we... I'll summarize it. It says, to be true semnos, we must face and fight current battles. So stop looking back. We mustn't look back and say, yeah, when I was 35, I faced this and I overcame it. And hang on to that to carry us through things we're facing later in life. That's not what we're called to do. That was good then, and that was needed then. But right now, we have to face the battles that are in front of us, and we can use our position and our experiences and our walk with Christ to do that. Thirdly, self-controlled. So I'm not actually going to talk about self-controlled this week because we're going to talk very much about being self-controlled when we talk about younger men. So young guys here, look forward to that. I think that's coming next week. Fourthly, sound in faith. So here we have, there's a trilogy around faith. We've got sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Paul is saying that semnos, be well-rounded. Don't have weak points, no chinks in your armor. It may be that we don't understand everything. But if we're sound in faith, we know that that sets us in a firm place to stand. Our faith has been tested. As we are older, our faith gets tested. We've been through the ups and downs. We've been on the roller coaster rides. But our faith has stood that test, and we are in a place where it is sound, healthy, because God is faithful. A thing about steadfastness. So as we get older, we may feel a little less fit. We may feel a little weaker. But the spirit within us becomes more steady. It allows us to remain steadfast. Younger men, if I may, can't help checking themselves out. They can't help taking a look. How do I look? I look pretty good. And a little selfie there just to confirm the fact that I look pretty good. You know, when they're in a race, God forbid they're ever in a race in a car on the road, but when they're in a race for something, a race in life, they're forever checking to see who's looking. Who's looking at me? You know, I'm winning this race. Ladies, any ladies? Any ladies? So that's the life of a youngster, which we're going to touch on more next week. But, you know, older men, we know that if you're running a race, turning to the left, turning to the right, having a look behind you to check out, slows you down. It slows you down. So we don't. We don't tend to check everything on around us so much. We tend to run the race and run it to the finish. John 9 verse 4 says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. So older men, we tend to be more focused on the task at hand and pushing through to get it done. So I'm bringing this down to a close now. Older men, older women, you are the heropapes, the semnos, the litmus test of God's faithfulness, not by theory, but by your authentic, true life testimonies. We don't fall for the lie that the testimony of the church lies with younger people, with the young men and the young women. You know, young people may come into the life of this church, they may have a look around, and they may say, hey, there's quite a lot of young people here, that's cool. But actually, real value comes when they see the gray heads, when they see people who have persevered, who have walked through, and there's a security that comes in knowing that there are men and women in the life of this church who are reference points, who are there to support them as they try to settle in to this body. You are heropapes and semnos. You are credible in the life of God, in the life of the church. When you speak life and wisdom, strength of character and sound faith, it's like a rolling thunder across the family. There is a security that comes, there's a strength that comes from it. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. So there's no such thing as spiritual retirement. You are heropapes, priestesses. You are semnos, dignified men. You bring soundness of faith to our family here at the Bridge. Before this morning, maybe you thought, you know, I'm done and dusted. I've run the race and I really can't do any more running. There's still a race to be run. At whatever pace you are able to run it, there is still a race to be run. You're not brittle branches, but you're still full of sap. Psalm 92, we referred to earlier. There is sap flowing through your bodies. You've had more years of abiding in the vine, and you're more connected to the heavenly oil overflowing from it. We're actually, as we get older, more flexible.